the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Patitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
To In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I am your host, Father Pavlos of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. It's our joy to be with you again this beautiful summer day, and we're going to try to share with you about Saint Avramios the Recluse. Now, you probably never heard of Saint Avramios the Recluse, but I think you're going to enjoy hearing his story. He celebrates on October 29th, but I'm going to share with his story because he is an example of the missionary, and I want to share that with you today. And before we cut to our first piece of music, I just want to share with you a little quote from the Philokalia, a beautiful book written over many, many centuries, but compiled by Saint Nicodemus the Hagiarite, and a wellspring of wisdom. Here is just one small reading from the monks Callistos and Ignatius. This brightest light of life in Christ, this new Bezaliel of the heavenly ladder, says, the fathers call psalmody a weapon, prayer a wall, tears a bath, and the blessed obedience the profession, without which none of the passionate will see the Lord. And I think as you hear our story today, you'll know why I began with that beautiful quote. Today begins after Saint Avramios had been already perfected as a monk. 10 years before the blessed Avramios forsook the world, his parents died, bequeathing him numerous possessions. Since he did not wish to leave his prayer and solitude, he requested a close friend to distribute his entire inheritance to the poor. He thus remained free from cares, for the Blessed One's whole desire was to prevent his mind from clinging to anything earthly. Therefore, he had no possessions except a single garment, a hair shirt, a bowl from which he ate and drank, and a mat upon which he slept. Throughout the 50 years he struggled in the monastic life, he never altered his rule, continually laboring for God with love and fervor. Now, one of the villages that lay near the city where Avramios had lived was very large, and its inhabitants were all heathen, from the least to the greatest. Until that time, no one had succeeded in turning them to God. Many priests and deacons had been sent by the bishop of that region to convert the inhabitants of the village from the deception of idolatry. But not one could endure the afflictions they suffered at the hands of the pagans. Numerous monks, likewise, strove repeatedly to win the people of that village away from their error. But as they had no success, they departed from their midst. One day, as the bishop was sitting with his clergy, he brought to mind the blessed Avramios and said, in all my life, I have not met a man who has attained such perfection in every good and God-pleasing work as has our Lord Avramios. The clergy replied, yes, Master, he is truly God's servant and a perfect monk. The bishop then said to them, I wish to make him a priest for that village of pagans. Perhaps by his love and patience their hearts will be inclined toward him, and they will turn to God. The bishop and his clergy departed forthwith and went to the Blessed One. After they had arrived and greeted the saint, the bishop began to tell Avramios of the pagan village, beseeching him to go there. When Avramios heard this, however, he became very sorrowful and said to the bishop, "Forgive me, Holy Father. Leave me in peace to weep for my sins, for I am a weak man and unfit for the task you wish to lay upon me." The bishop replied, "The grace of God will enable you to succeed in this undertaking. Do not shirk from this good obedience. I entreat you, Your Holiness, leave me, the wretch, to bewail my iniquities," said the Blessed One. The bishop answered, "You have forsaken the world and despised all that is in the world, have crucified yourself to the flesh, and acquired every virtue, but you have not learned obedience?" When Avramius heard this, he wept bitterly and said, "I am but a stinking dog. Of what use is my life if you think this of me?" The bishop said, "You sit here alone and save yourself, but in the village you will turn many to the Lord in salvation with the help of God's grace. Consider, therefore, which of the two will bring you a greater reward, to save yourself alone or to save many?" Weeping, the Blessed One said, "May the will of God be done. In obedience I go." The bishop led Avramius forth from his cell to the city where he ordained him, and he sent him with other clergymen to the pagan village. Along the way, the Blessed One prayed to God, saying, "O good one, who lovest mankind, thou seest my weakness. Do thou send thy grace unto mine aid, that thy most holy name may be glorified." When he reached the village and saw how the people served the idols and were held fast by demonic delusion, Avramius groaned and wept. Lifting up his eyes unto heaven, he said, "O God, who alone art without sin, disdain not the works of thy hands." Avramius then sent word to his dear friend, to whom he entrusted the task of distributing his inheritance to the poor, and instructed him to send a portion of the money which he had remained, that he might use it to build a church. The Blessed One quickly began the construction of God's temple, and within a short time a magnificent church was built, which he adorned like a fair bride. While the church was being built, the Blessed One would go amid the idols and pray to God, without saying a word aloud. After the church was completed, he tearfully offered prayers to the Lord there, making entreaties to God and saying, "O Lord, gather the people which you have scattered, and lead them into this church, and lighten the eyes of their mind, that they may know thee to be the one true God who loves mankind." When he had finished his prayer, the saint left the church, overturned the altar of the pagans, and destroyed their gods. When the heathen saw this, they fell upon him like wild beasts, thrashed him, and cast him out of the village. But he returned by night to the church and began to cry out, weeping in prayer to God and beseeching him to save the people from perdition. When morning dawned, the pagans found him in the church praying, for they came every day to the church, not to pray, but to marvel at the magnificence and beauty of the building. And they were amazed. The Blessed One besought them to acknowledge the one true God, but they beat him with staves as though he were a lifeless rock. They threw him to the ground, tied a noose around his neck, and dragged him out of the village. Then, thinking he was dead, they laid a stone upon him and departed. But Avramius came to himself in the middle of the night, and scarcely alive, sat up and began to weep bitterly, saying to God, "Why, O Master, hast thou spurned my lowliness and my tears? Why hast thou turned thy face away from me and disdain me, who am the work of thy hands? O Master, upon thy servant and hearken unto my prayer. Strengthen me and loose thy servants from the bonds of the devil, and grant them to know thee, the only true God, for there is no other God than thee." Avramius then went into the village, entered the church, and he stood there chanting and praying. The next morning the pagans came and found that he was still alive and were astonished. As they were brutal and merciless men, they began to torment him cruelly. Having knocked him to the ground, they tied a rope around his neck and dragged him out of the city. The Blessed One suffered similar cruelties at their hands for 3 years. He was persecuted, beaten, reviled, stoned, and endured hunger and thirst. But although the heathen brought all these things upon him, never was he angry with them. Neither did he complain, nor show cowardice. He bore these things without growing despondent, and torments only served to increase his love for the people and his desire for their salvation. He instructed the elderly respectfully, as though they were his own parents, and taught the young as if they were his brothers, entreating them to accept the faith. The children he dealt with as though they were his own, even though they mocked and reviled him. The people of that village could not be but amazed at Abraham's life. And one day, when all of them had gathered together, they began to speak with one another, saying, "Do you not see with what patience this man has? Do you not see what love beyond words he has for us? He has suffered much evil from us, but he's not gone away or said a word of complaint to anyone. He has not turned away from us, but he endures all things with great joy. Truly, God, of whom he ever speaks, has sent him to us, that we might correct our lives. He tells us of the kingdom, of paradise, and of life eternal, and his words are surely true. Otherwise, he would be unable to endure such abuse at our hands. Moreover, he has shown us that our gods are powerless, for they proved unable to revenge themselves upon him when he broke them to pieces. He is indeed a servant of the living God, and all that he hath said is true. Come then, let us believe in the God whom he preaches." The people then hastened to enter the church, crying and saying, "Glory to the God of heavens, who hath sent us his servant to save us from the delusion of the devil." When the Blessed One saw them, he rejoiced exceedingly, and his countenance shone like the light of morning. He opened his mouth and said to the people, "All my fathers, brethren, and children, come, let us glorify God who has illumined the eyes of your heart, that you should know him and be cleansed of the impurity of idolatry. Believe in the living God with all your heart, for he is the creator of heaven and earth, and of all things therein, the Lord unoriginate, ineffable, unapproachable, the giver of light, both dread and just, who loves mankind. Have faith also in his only begotten Son, who is his wisdom and power and does his will, and in the Holy Spirit, who gives life to all things. For if you believe thus, you shall have eternal life." The people answered him, "O Father, the guide of our life, we believe as you say and teach us, and we are ready to do whatever you command." The Blessed One immediately then took them all and baptized them, old and young, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In all, they were about 1,000 souls. Every day he read to them from the divine scripture and spoke of the kingdom of heaven, of paradise, of the fire of Gehenna, and of righteousness, faith, and love. Like fertile ground, they received the good seed and gave forth fruit, one 100-fold, another 60-fold, another 30-fold. The Blessed One, who was like an angel of God, was ever engaged in their instruction, and they hearkened to him eagerly, gladly, and with diligence. They gave close heed to his sacred teaching, for they were bound to him by the bonds of love. The Blessed One lived with the villagers for a full year after their conversion, because he wished to confirm them in the faith. Day and night he taught them the word of God without ceasing. When he saw that they were established in the zeal for God and that their faith was firm, he wished to leave them, knowing that they had come to love and to revere him very much. He feared lest he form an attachment to them, thus betraying his monastic vow. One night he arose and began to pray to God, saying, "O thou who alone art without sin, O thou only Holy One, the merciful Master who alone loves mankind and rests in the saints, thou hast enlightened the eyes of this people, freed them from the deception of idolatry, and vouchsafed them to know thee. Do thou ever keep and preserve them, O Master, and do thou guard this thy flock, which thou hast acquired in thy great love for mankind. Protect them from every side by thy grace. Ever illumine their heart, and cause them to be altogether pleasing unto thee, that they may be vouchsafed thy heavenly kingdom. Defend thou me also, who am feeble and unworthy, and count not mine intentions as sin. For thou knowest that I love thee and seek after thee." When Abrahamis had finished his prayers, he signed himself with a cross and secretly departed to another place where he hid himself from the villagers. The next day, the newly enlightened people went to the church according to their custom. They searched for the Godly One, but not find him. And in their confusion, they wandered about like lost sheep seeking their shepherd, for whom they wept as they called out his name. Having looked everywhere and not found him, they became very downcast and hastened to the bishop to tell him what had happened. The bishop likewise was saddened when he learned of this, and he saw how Abraham's flock wept and besought God to return their father to them. He sent a number of his servants without delay to seek the Blessed One. The servants diligently sought for him as though he were a precious stone, but could not find him. Therefore the bishop went with his clergy to the village, and seeing that all its inhabitants were steadfast in the faith and their love for Christ, he chose from their number worthy men, ordaining them presbyters and deacons. Then, after blessing them, he departed. When the Blessed One heard what the bishop had done, he rejoiced greatly. He gave glory to God and said, O my good master, what shall I render unto thee for all that thou hast done for me? I worship and glorify thy divine providence. After praying thus, Abrahamius joyfully returned to the cell where he had formerly lived. So much for listening to our program today. Of course, you're listening to In the Narthex, a radio program of our Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. We're continuing now with our discussion, and our theme today is mission work. And of course, we began with this beautiful quote about obedience and its value, and then we saw in the story of Saint Abrahamios how important was his obedience. He was a man of so many virtues, but when the bishop asked to ordain him, he didn't want to accept. And of course, I can understand his position. I probably would have said the same thing. But the bishop made it an issue of obedience. Aren't you going to be obedient? And then, heartbroken, he accepted the bishop's decision. And in obedience, he completed that obedience, I guess you'd say. And so much did he suffer for those people. And yet, with each suffering, his love for them grew. Now, that may sound like a hard-to-believe story, even a mythological story, but it's a true story of the Church. And I want to tell you another true story that comes from much more recent time, and that's the story of St. Nicholas of Japan. His last name was Katsutakin, or Katsutakin, I'm not sure how it was pronounced, but Katsutakin, I think. He lived from 1836 to 1912. He was a model evangelizer serving in modern Japan. When he entered Japan in 1861, just as the Japanese were emerging from the cocoon of national isolation that lasted more than 200 years, during its period of self-imposed isolation, Japan's xenophobic society outlawed all missionary activity and had minimal contact with any foreign nations. As a result, by the middle of the 19th century, Japan was considered one of the most unevangelized countries in the world. Now, I'm reading to you from a book called Missionaries, Monks, and Martyrs, Making Disciples of All Nations. And it's written by Father Luke Alexander Veronis, who I know very well. And I'm thankful for him, for his work here. Little evidence remained of the work of some 300 Roman Catholic missionaries that they had achieved in the 16th century, when Christianity claimed more than 300,000 Japanese believers. Xenophobia wiped out almost all traces of this heritage. The Japan that Katsutakin entered was still a land hostile to the message of Christ. By the time of his death in 1912, however, he would win the hearts of many Japanese, building the Orthodox Church to more than 33,000 baptized believers. Now, I don't know if we have time to read everything in this beautiful passage, but I wanted to share with you that St. Nicholas served in Japan for 10 years, 10 solid years, before he made even one convert. And by the time of his death, there were 33,000 baptized believers. So you can imagine that this story of St. Avramios is not as far-fetched as we might think. How blessed patience mixed with holiness is a wonderful prescription for bringing people to the Lord. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. Of course, there's more to read in that beautiful story, and I want to encourage you to get a copy of that book. These are not hard to find books. There's a publishing company in the United States called Light and Life, and they have a plethora of Orthodox material, and they also, of course, publish this particular volume, Missionaries, Monks, and Martyrs, Making Disciples of All Nations. That's what I wanted to share with you today. We're going to close out our program. Of course, it's a little early to close it out, but we're going to close it out anyway with some beautiful music of our church and to strengthen you and help you in your own walk with the Lord. And I hope that this little story that we've shared with you about St. Avramios is an inspiration to you. Please, as always, remember that this ministry is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, headquartered in Wellington, whose Archshepherd is His Eminence, Archbishop Amphilochios. And it is offered to you, our beloved listeners, as a ministry of love. Thank you for listening, and enjoy your summer.
When our Jesus was a small child, when our Jesus was a small child, alleluia, He made for Himself a garden.
Alleluia, most of all white roses. Σε όνας τον αιώνα.